From Bristol, UK, I'm Pommy Harmer.
And I'm Melissa Shimam. This is The Quarantini.
We're bringing you this podcast every week to keep your spirits up and until lockdown in the UK has ended.
As with every week, today we'll bring you a mix of ingenious responses to the virus,
creative ideas for the future,
and maybe a dash of the unexpected. And as usual, a special thanks to the Old Bones Collective for opening music that you're listening to at the moment.
Welcome, lovely listeners. We're into series two now of The Quarantini, and as we gently emerge from lockdown, we'll be bringing you new thinking and ideas of how the world might change. Only this morning, in fact, Greta Thunberg, the young climate change campaigner, told the BBC that she believed our recent experiences of the COVID crisis and also the Black Lives Matter protests show how ready we are to make changes extremely quickly and how this can be applied to the climate emergency. So keep listening and contributing your own ideas to the show. Hi, Melissa. What do we have coming up in this week's show?
So, Pommy, this week starts with the 22nd of June being Windrush Day in the UK, and the country has been celebrating the contribution of its population from the Caribbean. So, timely, we will have an interview with Cleo Lake. She is a Bristol former Lord Mayor, and she's also a city councillor for the Green Party, an ambassador for Bristol African Caribbean culture as an artist. And we'll talk with her about her views for positive change and her own project and how they have been affected by the lockdown around green issues and how to integrate people of colour in those fights.
Fabulous. And in the mixer part of the show, we'll include, as usual, a roundup of exciting responses to coronavirus.
And for the dash of the something unexpected, we've got some music for you today, and it's from the Bristol Refugee Festival. It was World Refugee Day on the 21st of June, and all of last week, some organisations and charity have highlighted the great input that actually refugees have brought to their new countries all around the world. Here in Bristol, we have a special festival every year, but of course this year it couldn't take place on Queen Square. But don't worry, a lot happened online. And we have this song for you that came about during that week of recording by Servo and his family. Servo Severin is a drummer and a teacher from the Congo, and he has been performing with his family in Bristol since 2018.
Kwenda kwani kuna kwateke la bangaka kuna mengongo ngati wiji joki kumkala yeye sakala kwa kwe mama chadi mama meno mwana na kunjile meno mwana Kalani pungu chope diwidi sakala kwa kwe lumbu tini kwenda kwani na kwa teke la bakaka kuna mengongo ngati wiji joki kukala ye sala kwa kwe mama chadi mama meno mwana na kunjile
So So that was a few minutes from a 40-minute recording by Servo Severin, who's a drummer and teacher from the Congo. If you go to YouTube, you can hear the whole recording.
Absolutely. And so thank you very much to King Sound Reinforcement, who recorded that, and to Danny Vincent from the Bristol Refugee Festival for sharing this recording with us.
So it's time now for our weekly roundup. But before that, let's just remind listeners how to get hold of us.
Yes, absolutely. You should email us definitely at thequarantinipodcast@gmail.com, which you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, so what's first on our list today?
There's a great news, Pommy, especially for myself. It's my favourite animal. And a few days ago, a first ever baby zebra was born in Bristol's White Place project.
Oh,
it was named, it's so cute, you should absolutely look for the photos. It was named Vera. You know why? It's after Dame Vera Lynn and her memorable Second World War song, We'll Meet Again. So that's the song that the Queen referred to at the end of her broadcast for the lockdown. And the White Place project is expecting to reopen anyway, even before Bristol Zoo. So that's an expected opening to be announced soon. And that's why they've named the zebra Vera, as this very hopeful message to see us again. And I must say, I've met a lot of zebra in my life when I was living in East Africa. You know, they kind of run wild in the street of Nairobi, crossing the highways. That's really funny. So hopefully soon I'll meet them again here in Bristol at the White Place.
The Wild Place, it's an amazing place. It's up by Cribbs Causeway. It's a large area of land that has expanded actually recently and is now housing bears, wolves and lynx. So go up there and find out what they've got.
Yeah, hopefully there's a bus as well for people who don't drive like me. What's next, Pommy?
Okay, so this week we're celebrating books. Despite the world turning digital, many people still really want to read real books, ones they can open, feel the paper and have the experience of waking up just as the book falls on their nose. So libraries are branching into click and collect. And starting with Denbighshire in Wales, you can now order and pick up books or select home delivery if you're shielding. And they've even stopped all the late fees. So hopefully that will spread across the UK very soon.
I'm sure it will. I totally agree. It's so much better to have a real book. But luckily as well, some bookstores have managed to reopen this week. Some in the whole of the country, especially in London, obviously, but in other cities as well. They were even mentioned in the New York Times. There was an article about some libraries reopening in London. Here in Bristol, Waterstone has managed to reopen in the galleries. Obviously, the cafe is still closed. And as you know, it's Britain's largest book chain with over 280 stores. So they announced that they have new safety measure so that, for instance, any book that a customer would touch but not buy would be put away for 72 hours to cut the infection risk. So you can still have a look and not decide to take the book. But you're invited, obviously, to be very cautious. And as well, some restaurants and art galleries will manage to reopen from this week. You have to book in advance to just visit the gallery safely.
All right. And moving further afield, the Eiffel Tower reopened on Monday following its longest ever closure since World War II. If you go there, you will need face masks. They're now compulsory for anyone over the age of 11. And the elevator is out of bounds, Melissa. So if you go there, you'll have to face 1,665 stairs to get to the very, very top.
Well, that's just very discouraging. As you know, I'm from Paris. And you know what? I've only been to the Eiffel Tower twice. But one was a really, really defining experience. I'm not going to go into the details, but that's worse going again and climbing those stairs.
Ha.
Further away still, during lockdown, I want to mention that a Ghanaian shoemaker managed to invent a solar-powered hand-washing machine. It's obviously in order to encourage sanitary habits to improve. Ghana, as you know, is a West African country. It has 31 million inhabitants. And in the what we call the cultural capital, Kumasi, located in a region of the Ashanti people. There was a two-week lockdown to control the spread of the virus. And this inspired this man for his wonderful invention. That's quite amazing because, you know, he did it all on his own. So in less than 48 hours, this 32-year-old shoemaker called Richard Kwateng and his brother Jude, they managed to gather all the necessary supplies to turn an old recycled metal barrel into a solar-powered hand-washing basin. And that's how they encourage people to change their sanitation habits among their whole neighbourhood.
That's incredible. People are so ingenious, aren't they?
Yeah, it's very inspiring. It's just the will to do it, right?
It's a real celebration of people's creativity across the world, I think. And drive-throughs, we will have read about drive-throughs popping up all over the world. There's one coming in Bristol very shortly. But they're mainly to watch films. But in Cologne, Bonn Airport in Germany, a drive-through art gallery has just opened in the parking garage with around 300 works of art on display. I can't quite work that out. Would you just wind your window down and drive slowly past them? I guess you would.
Yeah, I guess we need to learn how to handle that and change our habits, because I've read as well that, you know, there's going to be some sort of music festival, itinerant festival on huge trucks all over the UK as well. And you'll be like, how is it going to work? Are they going to drive through the street and people watch from their window the gig, meaning you will only catch a couple of minutes? But, you know, it's just another way to learn to enjoy things differently. So I'm sure that experience over there in Germany will teach people how to stay safe and enjoy whatever drive-through cinema and work of art in a different way. I mean, people have to adapt, and that's what we're doing, and it's pretty cool.
So now it's time for our interview, and we have a slightly different format from now on to give our guests more space to develop their views about the coming needed changes after the coronavirus. So what have we got this week, Melissa?
I wanted to talk to Cleo Lake. She's a woman I really admire for her talent and for her activism. As some of you may know, Cleo is a dancer, a performer. She's also become an educator, got involved in local community groups and then in politics. So she's been the Lord Mayor and is now a city councillor sitting with the Green Party. But she's also an ambassador for Bristol African Caribbean culture here, but also way beyond West England. For instance, she's travelled up to Ghana to generate creative partnership between Bristol and West Africa. So we talked about how her projects have been affected by the lockdown, obviously, and that's why she's created a new podcast called Africa AF. So she's going to talk to us now about the role of African Caribbean people in the UK in the fight against the climate crisis. And later on, we'll listen to what she's going to do with her podcast.
Great.
Good morning, Cleo.
Good morning.
Now we're in a very big time for change. We come out of the coronavirus crisis, and it's extremely important for anything you do with the environment. How do you manage to juggle all these cards?
I try as much as I can to hold discussions and get involved with debates, etc., that are happening when I'm in Ghana. And I think just having dialogues and trying to subtly present another worldview is part of it, actually, because activism can be on a very individual, small scale, or it could be larger. I'm also a member and now the regional coordinator for Greens of Colour. So that is also an important platform that seeks to extend the movement, the green movement, really, and the climate emergency movement to as wide range as people as possible. We're often kind of told, or it's presented sometimes in the media, that people of colour or global South heritage are not involved in the climate movement. And of course, we know that to be completely false. When people are seeing the destruction of their environment, their homelands, when they're being displaced, when they're experiencing flooding, as we've just seen in India, and all of these different things, people's lives are up against everyday climate issues. Seeing, for example, how now non-essential shops have been opened off the back of this lockdown period of COVID-19. And the disappointment I felt seeing queues and queues of people to consume items that are not the best quality, that are not designed to last, they are just throwaway, Of course, we know that for some people, that is all they can afford and they do need items. So there is that element. But also we have to consider the detrimental effect on the environment of this kind of throwaway culture. And also consider people who are making these clothes are not far off from being enslaved, really. And I think all of that is important. And it's all about raising awareness. I'm really encouraged over the last week or so, listening to some of our younger people in the Black community and their understanding of things and hearing them talk about things like food sovereignty, being able to grow our own food and to have it organic because, one young person heavily believed that the food that we consume that has been genetically modified or whatever else is designed to kill us, really. So it's encouraging for me to see young people framing those arguments. And of course, as I say to other people, you never know what discussions people are having in their homes, when they used to go to the pub, for example, the community centre, all these other places that people gather. They discuss things, they discuss the issues. I would like to see in this time more of those people be less underground and come out a bit more with their views because their views are really important.
Yes, of course, and there are some sort of ambassadors for some part of the communities in the city that are constantly discouraged to take part into that debate. So that's brilliant. What kind of platforms do you think you have here around you? Obviously, we're in Bristol as a councillor, as an activist, to, like, for instance, organise events. Despite the challenges that we face, we can't easily invite people to go out and gather in one place. So you have so many projects. Can you mention, for instance, what you believe is the most useful for the summer and how we can participate?
Yeah, I'm also a member of Sheba Soul Ensemble, which is a theatre troupe, but we also produce. So we've just finished 3 consecutive Saturdays of the Fly Festival of Black Women's Film. We launched this last year with the Fly Festival of Black Women's Theatre and a plan to do theatre and film this year in venues like Arnolfini, etc. But we've adapted. So we've just run 3 consecutive Saturdays of Fly Festival of Black Women's Film. Week one, we had films by female directors from Canada and America. The second week was Australia, New Zealand. And our final week, last Saturday gone, was UK and Europe. So through that, we not only screened short films and a feature film, but we had a dialogue after every film, really. Mm-hmm. And we also had a creative intervention to kind of really try and express what our feelings were from watching the films and with everything that's going on. So I think that was actually a really good way of bringing people together to articulate how they're feeling and also to discuss potential avenues of change. So that was just one element that we've managed to do on an online forum, discussion forum. And we'll be back again to deliver one of our theatre productions via Zoom as well, which we're looking forward to. And equally, the other organisation, Black Artists on the Move, have been doing similar work, bringing people together online, because that's something that we were doing before COVID anyway, given that we're an international company and we work with artists all over the diaspora. So we've had to kind of use Zoom anyway to include them in our live events.
Oh, that was great. That was part one, Melissa talking to Cleo Lake.
Yeah, I think it's interesting the angle that Cleo has addressed about, you know, a lot of people of colour are willing to be involved into the climate crisis because it's a bit overlooked. But obviously, it's a national, international, worldwide issue, Pommy. So I think the Quarantini will be able to just address that issue a lot more because it's completely changed. Our view on it have been really been exacerbated by this lockdown. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. We really want to go into this in some detail. We're going to start possibly next week by looking at transport. I think many people have got their bikes out of their shed and got back on their bikes during the virus to get around. And we've seen what it's like to have a lot less transport on our roads. So we're going to be talking to Cycling UK to find out their views of how they want things to change and how things could change. I mean, we're looking at changes that were earmarked for 2025, possibly happening this year. So things are speeding up, I think, around the climate crisis. People are ready for change, aren't they?
I do agree completely. Also, you know that the next UN conference on the climate will happen in Glasgow in November. There's no reason to cancel it. Maybe it'll be postponed, but it is the city after the milestone accomplished in Paris in 2015, where the biggest conference with a lot of hope is set to take place. Hopefully it's not going to be moved, because November, I think, is an ideal time. So the UK might have a big role in that. Apparently the government is not really pushing for it, but here in Bristol and in many other places in the UK, we definitely have a lot of to say on those issues, transport, cycling, and also energy. And hopefully we'll have a guest on energy as well.
Yeah, we absolutely will.
So before we move on, I just want to go back to Cleo and our discussion. She's going to tell us more about her new podcast, Africa AF, and tell why it's important now to use those platforms, because we're still in lockdown, and all of her activities through performance, getting people to dance and to know about culture in advance have to be shelved, right? So podcast is a really great platform for her to keep on educating and discussing and teaching people about their roots in Africa.
Also, now you're launching your own podcast.
Sure. So African AF is a concept that I came up with the last time I was in Ghana. And during that time, obviously, I connected with people I already know, dance artists, people who, you know, curate festivals, etc. But I also met new artists, musicians. And I wanted a way to bring together the people that I'd met in Ghana and also the people that I work with here or that I know of here. And also to be kind of forward thinking in terms of identity, and to put at the heart of identity and that message of Africanness, and to be able to reclaim that as someone from the diaspora. So African AF was actually Jidenna, who is a music artist in America. And he was actually over there last year as well, because it was the year of return. So Ghana promoted the year of return last year, encouraging people from the diaspora to go back to Ghana. So they actually attracted millions of people from the diaspora. What people see as black culture in the Western world, the essence of it is African. And he was celebrating that fact, and it really resonated. And I thought, African AF, people can make what they want out of the words, but for me, it's not the swear word, but there's an element of that. It's African as future. So it's that belief that my future, my children's future, the way I think about the world has to connect with Africa. And that doesn't mean we all have to go back to Africa. It would be great if we could all visit, at least. The world is getting more accessible this time through being able to work virtually and connect virtually. But for me, you can be an African and you can celebrate African culture wherever you are in the world.
Well, I certainly agree, because as you know, I've lived in East Africa and Central Africa myself, simply as a reporter, but my family comes from North Africa and I've been lucky to go from 8 months old. So I've been to all parts of Africa. Thank you so much, Cleo, and all the best for all this great project.
No, happy to be here. Great to talk to you, Melissa. And yeah, just to highlight the podcast African AF, and it is now on Spotify and other platforms. So please check it out and give it a listen as well as this podcast. Thank you.
You can find it on all the podcast platforms just like us. And I'll post my longer discussion with Cleo on YouTube as well.
Well, it's nearly time to finish now, but before we go, we'd like to bring you something to celebrate the solstice, which happened over the weekend of the 20th, 21st of June. And in a few days, it's going to be Midsummer's Day. So here's a piece of music which we think sums up summer. It was voted this year in the Classic FM annual survey's Britain's favourite piece of music. It's The Lark Ascending by Vaughan Williams. Thank you. That's it for the Quarantini this week. We'll be back next week with a new cocktail of ideas and positive news for you all.
You can get hold of us by emailing us at thequarantinipodcast@gmail.com, and we're also on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
This podcast was hosted and produced by me, Pommy Harmer.
And by me, Melissa Shimam. Thanks for listening.
And stay safe.